So I'm hoping Jonathan called me and I wanted to give this word. And then a couple of days ago he called me and wanted to make sure faith was incorporated in it. So hopefully it's not out of season, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. So Sam and Jonathan, a couple weeks ago, were going over the issue of sonship and identity in Christ. I wasn't here for one of those talks, but I listened through one of them at work, and I was really just struck with the importance of that. And it's kind of becoming a running joke with Ryan. The joke is that he's the stone and the living stone thing, and it's kind of becoming the joke. Stephen Walker, you know that I'm the identity in Christ guy, and I kind of just hammer that all the time. But a couple things were said during that talk. I think Sam said that the devil doesn't mind. You know, he could have us sit in here and talk all day and tell you guys, you know, have us talk to you guys about what you should be doing as Christians, how you should be living, what you should not be doing, and what a good Christian life looks like. And he could sit here in the audience and just amen that whole sermon. But I think when we start getting into the issue of identity and we start unpacking the revelation of what we have in Christ, what is already ours, I think he starts to get worried. Because I think that's the only time when we really start to find victory. So again, what was in my heart is that I wanted to encourage you guys to not just hear those couple of sermons that were preached a couple weeks ago and think, okay, I'm just going to pack that away with the rest of my theology and go on, and I have this information. But this is something that every step of our Christian life has to be taken in identity. You can't take one step. If you're taking a step in your Christian life attempting to do that and you're not rooted in your identity, then it's a waste. It's dead. It's a dead work. So we've got to be rooted and grounded in Christ. So what's really been in my heart a lot, this passage in Matthew 4 and at the end of 3 and into the beginning of 4, I think it's very significant that the very first temptation that the enemy hits Jesus with, it's an attack on Jesus' identity. So I just want to read this real quick. Starting in, we'll start in Matthew 3, 16. It says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So Jesus, before his ministry begins, the Lord opens up the heavens and gives him this word, this promise, saying, "You are my Son, I am pleased with you." Immediately, he's led into a wilderness condition, which is, you can think of it, the conditions of a wilderness are like the opposite conditions that a son of God should be in. So God says, "You're a son," and then immediately after that, Jesus finds himself in a condition that is the opposite of what a son should be in. And so the enemy comes to him in that condition and says, "If you're really a son, you know, you should have bread. You know, sons have bread." Jesus even taught that a father, you know, later on in the Beatitudes, he says fathers will provide bread for their children if they ask. Jesus is in this situation where he doesn't have bread. He's lacking. And so the enemy comes and says, "Look, if you were really a son, you know, you would have bread right now. So you better, you know, get in the flesh, start working. You better provide bread for yourself." And how often the enemy is doing that with us to get us out of resting in our identity. And he's coming to us and saying, if you were really a son, if you were really a Christian, you know, you would have, you know, you wouldn't have this struggle here, or you would have victory in this area here, or you would, you know, you would pray more, you would love God more, you'd be doing more of this. So, you know, you better, you know, start working. You know, you better start getting that done. The temptation is to, he wants to get us to try to do good things in our own strength, to try to do good works apart from a connection to God by faith. I think what Satan wanted Jesus to do is to doubt that promise. God had given him a promise, and Jesus found himself in a situation that was in direct contradiction with that promise. And so that is why Paul has to tell us that we walk by faith, not by sight. And he tells us to look at the things that are unseen, and we don't look at the things that are seen. So God is giving all of us promises. He's speaking to us promises, giving us hope and giving us encouragement. And he's giving us his own evaluation of us, of who we are before him, and of our circumstances. And the enemy wants to come and cause us to doubt what God is saying about us and what God is saying about our circumstances, so that we will move into a place of like an orphan mentality, thinking that we have to provide those things for ourselves instead of resting and trusting in our Father who has promised to do that for us. So that's just my encouragement. You can go through, I wanted to go through the New Testament, and you can just lay out over and over and over again. The New Testament writers are constantly beginning with this issue of identity and saying, put your faith first in what God says about you, then do the Christian life. The book of Ephesians is a great example where Paul lays out three chapters describing who the believers are and what they have in Christ before he ever tells them what to do. He never gives one word about, okay, do this and don't do that. He first lays out three chapters saying, this is who you are, this is what you have, this is who Jesus has made you. And then after that, he says, okay, so because of this, because you're a child of light, walk in the light. Because this is who you are, do this. It's not do this so that you can become this. So I just encourage you guys to take that teaching that Sam and Jonathan gave and just pack that away with other theological ideas, you know, that you know, and think that, you know, I know that, so now I'm good, but that you would be walking in that just as you receive Christ as Lord and you received your identity in Christ, that you would walk in it. So.